Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 through 26. Isaiah 3:16 through 26. The Lord says, "The women of Zion are haughty, walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, strutting along with swaying hips, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. Therefore the Lord will bring sores on the heads of the women of Zion. The Lord will make their scalps bald. In that day the Lord will snatch away their finery, the bangles and headbands and crescent necklaces, the earrings and bracelets and veils, the headdresses and anklets and sashes, the perfume bottles and the charms, the signet rings and nose rings, the fine robes and the capes and the cloaks, the purses and mirrors and the linen garments and tiaras and shawls. Instead of fragrance, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of a well-dressed hair, baldness. Instead of fine clothing, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. Your men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. The gates of Zion will lament and mourn. Destitute, she will sit on the ground." Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for your love for your people, and thank you for your grace, and help us to live by your grace and by your love, God. Thank you for giving us this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So that passage is pretty crazy. It's not really the first passage that most of us probably want to read in the morning as we begin our day. But today what I want to talk about is this idea of surrendering. Surrendering to God and surrendering to our Father and to His grace and to His love. So this is the Olympic season. And I don't know how many of you are watching the games. I wish I could, but I don't have a TV and it's just hard to really keep up with what is happening. But I heard about the Korean fencing girl yesterday who got gypped of her winning. I don't know. It makes me mad. But, you know, Olympic season, victory is a big matter for us, and it's a big deal for many people, right? And we talk about victory in the church as well. You know, yesterday, Pastor Eugene talked about winning the race. And throughout the Bible, there's many passages about fighting the good fight and, you know, run the race so as or fight the fight, or box in a way that you could win the fight, you know? There's many verses and passages about winning and about victory, and I believe that God wants to give us victory. Romans 8:37, it says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors." And Romans 16:20, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet." So victory is something that God wants to give to us, but when we look at our lives, there are many times we fall short of victory. We fall short of living the kind of life that we want to live. And if we examine ourselves honestly, we know that there are things and areas in our lives where we keep falling short and we're not living the way we're designed to live. You know, I went away to camp with our youth group kids, so I had 5 nights and 6 days at camp with them. And then about 3 days later, we went away for an outreach trip for another 5 nights and 6 days. And for the second part, for the outreach part, I was the only adult supervisor for about 10 kids. And it was so tiring. I can tell you, you know, if you want to join youth ministry, please come and talk to me because these kids really need the love of Jesus. And I'm serious. Especially female teachers. There's a lot of girls in there, and you know, there's kind of a lack for that in our youth group. But man, it was so tiring to be with them, because you're there with them 24/7. But that was also one of the best things about this time together, that we could spend 24/7 together for five days for outreach and 5 days for camp. And it was just a time of really getting to know each other. And, you know, you can't get away. I couldn't get away from them as much as I wanted to, you know, get my own time. You're always face-to-face with them. But one of the cool things about being with them was that I could see their issues. I could see their brokenness. I could see where their hurts were. I could see what kind of baggage that they carry with them. And I think that's a great thing, because really knowing and learning about the issues is the first step to healing, right? So, and what I want to say to us is we all have that. You know, if we were all to spend 24/7 together for 5-6 days the way we did with the youth group kids, I'm sure we'll all recognize, man, this person is broken in this way, and this person has this kind of issues, and this person has this kind of hurt and pain that makes them act out in certain ways. And we all have it, because we're all affected, you know, by different things in our lives that cause us pain, that cause us disappointments, that cause us bitterness and anger, and it all comes out. And it hinders us from living the kind of life, the kind of victorious life and freedom that God wants to give to us, that God wants us to live in. And what I find that in my own life, and for many Christians, when we fall and when we fail and when we find ourselves living in sin, or when we find ourselves, you know, with a sin pattern that we can't get out of, in a habit that we can't stop, or some kind of hurt or pain or issues that come out, what we try to do oftentimes is we try and strive to do better. You know, we say, okay, this is my issue, this is my brokenness, so how am I going to try and better myself? How am I going to, you know, overcome this thing? And we try and strive, and we try and figure out ways. You know, we might fast, we might go to conferences and retreats, we go to counseling, and we do all these things. But what I want to suggest to you is that the first step to true victory, the first step to true freedom, is to surrender before the Father, to surrender to the love of the Father, and to come before Him just as we are, admitting our shortcomings and surrendering to God's grace. And that's really the first step that you're going to be able to experience the freedom that comes from Christ. So for example, let's say we have an anger issue. Let's say we just keep having outbursts of anger, and we hurt people and we say these nasty things and we feel bad, and we keep doing it. And, you know, Satan, the accuser, accuses us. You know, he says, you're such a bad person. You're such an angry person. You have this issue, you have that issue. And what we tend to do is we fight, and we say, no, that's not who I am. We try to justify ourselves, and we try to do things to make up for when we fail. We sin, and we fall into our temptations, and we have anger issues and whatnot, and then we try to justify that by trying to be good in different areas, and we try to make up for what we do here by trying to be good, trying to be better, trying to read our Bible more, trying to pray more, trying to give generously, do all these things. And we try to fight the accusation of the enemy by trying to justify ourselves and trying to say, no, we're not bad, we're this, we could do that, and we try to fight that. But what truly breaks the power of the enemy when he accuses us is when we surrender to God and we admit that we are broken. We admit that, man, we have issues. So if the enemy comes to you and says, you are such a bad person, you have anger issues, and you broke this person's heart, and you really hurt this person, what we say is not, no, but I'm good at this and I'm good at that. Instead, we say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am an angry person. I have these issues. I am so broken inside. I am so hurt inside that I can't do anything about it, and I have hurt these people. And we admit to our weaknesses, and we admit to our pain, and we admit to the hurt, you know, the issues, the brokenness that we have on the inside. And the enemy's power is broken. Because when he accuses you and he says, you're this and you're that, and you say, yes, I am, You're so right. I am. I am so broken. I have lust issues. I have anger issues. I have this and that and this and that. But the Father loves me anyway. And the Father embraces me anyway. And the Father is with me. And the Father is holding me up. And He is committed to me to try and set me free. Then the enemy has no hold over you. And it's not about striving and trying to be better and counting our own righteousness, but it's a surrendering to the Father, surrendering to the love of the Father, to the grace of the Father. And that's what grace is. You know, Jesus didn't come to die for us on the cross so that we can strive to attain our own righteousness. Jesus came and died so that we can receive His righteousness and live out of that righteousness. And that is what I want to talk about. And today's passage is what it kind of talks about that. I know it's kind of a graphic passage, but it talks about the Israelite women. And I believe it's a metaphor for the whole land of Israel and what they're doing. And God says, you know, these people are haughty, walking along with outstretched necks and swaying their hips. But in that day, the Lord will snatch away their finery. The Lord is going to snatch away their accessories and all these things that they put on their faces, put on their bodies, to make themselves look like they're in control, to make themselves look like they're doing okay. But the Lord is going to snatch all these things away, all the jewelry, all the little pretty things that they try to do. And finally, as those things are stripped away, we're going to be able to see them for who they are, their stench and their ugliness and their brokenness and the sin that is in their hearts. But the good news is when that happens, that's when healing is going to come to the land of Israel. Because as long as they keep their jewelry, as long as they keep their things, accessories, to try and make themselves pretty and to try and make themselves look like they're okay, true healing, true breakthrough is not going to come. Because they're lying to themselves about who they are. But when those things are stripped away, because if you read on in chapter 4, it says, finally, the branch of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, and He says He's going to come and He's going to wipe away the filth of these women. But unless you see the filth that is in you, that wiping away, that healing, that victory is not going to come. And you know, that's what happens, I think, to many, many Christian leaders that fall, you know, is because they have these issues, but they never surrender it to God, and they try to keep it hidden, and they try to put on their little things and try to make themselves look like they're in control. And eventually it gets to them, and they're stripped away of all these things, and their brokenness comes up. But really, it might be the best thing that could happen for them, because in that place, then they can receive healing, and they can receive freedom from God, and they can continue to go on, maybe even to a greater ministry, greater effectiveness. You might not have that platform, but maybe you'll be able to influence people in a way, you know, that can really speak to them because you've been through the fire and the pain. And I want to read to you just a story from this book that I read a while ago. It's a story of this intelligent and powerful man, and he died and he went to heaven, and Saint Peter is up there and he's saying, what is the password? And this intelligent man, powerful man, very capable, he thought to himself, okay, it must be some kind of religious phrase. So he said, okay, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And Peter says, no, that's not the password. So he's like thinking, okay, what could be the password? Another religious thing. Okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Peter says, no, that's not the password. And eventually, the guy is so frustrated, and he's thinking and realizes, man, this could be any one of 1,000 religious phrases that I've learned. So he's thinking, and he finally says to Peter, I can't. I give up. And then Peter says, okay, you can come in. And that's the password, I give up. And in our lives, I think so many times we forget the grace of God and the unconditional love of God, and we try to do it on our own. And we try to heal our own pain, and we try to kind of mask it, and we try to act or look like we're in control. But what we need to do to receive that healing is to surrender to the love of the Father and to say, God, I'm so broken on the inside. I have these issues that I can't deal with. I have these pains and I don't know what to do. And we can do this on our own. We can take away our jewelry. We can take away these things that we put on our, you know, we can do it on our own and come before the Father just as we are, in all our ugliness, in all our mess, and in all our pain, because the Father receives us as we are. But unless we have that, I don't think true healing is going to come, because you can't wipe away the filth that you cannot see. So I just want to encourage us this morning, because we're talking about victory, right? We want to be victorious people. We want to be people that live in freedom. But the first step to that kind of victory and freedom is for us to come before the Lord in surrender. In surrender to the Father and admit who we are on the inside. Admit who we are when we mess up and when we are broken and when we fall. And I believe that then when we do that, true healing is going to come. So let's just go before the Lord. Let's kind of take away our religious performance mentality, our masks that we put on, sometimes even before the Lord. And let's just come in surrender to the love of the Father and come to Him in our brokenness and in our pain and in our issues, in our sin issues. And let's just allow the Holy Spirit to come and help us to be healed, to help us to become whole on the inside.
Faithful a friend to so loving a king. Savior, what can be said? And what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of a debt of love that is owed of the debt. Of the debt of love that is owed of the debt. Of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Let's just go before the Lord together. I'm just reminded of, groups like Alcoholics Anonymous. And the first thing they do is, my name is so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. And then they come and just be honest with who they are and they admit to it. But there's so much healing in that because they're accepted, even in their brokenness. And that's what the Father offers to us. We can be honest before Him. And yet He says, I love you anyway. And that's exactly why I came and died for you, so that you can have my righteousness and you can live in freedom. So let's just go before the Lord in our brokenness and in our pain. And just spend a bit of time going before the Father and just telling Him who we are and admitting our brokenness before Him. Let's intercede together for our church. On Sunday, we talked about Moses interceding for his people. You know, let's really practice that. Let's really intercede for our people, but they are also God's people. So let's come before the Lord and pray that God will bring breakthrough and healing to the people on our list. So let's really pray together for the people on this slide. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for these church members, families that need healing as well as salvation. Let's pray that God will move in different infirmities. Let's pray together. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for our church members that are looking for a job. Let's pray for breakthrough for them. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor O, who's our missionary contact there in New Life Church, which is a church that we partner with in Cambodia, and Pastor Tang, the senior pastor of New Life Church, Center of Peace Orphanage, and Grace Chung and the Bloom Ministry that she's a part of. Let's also pray for Philippines, Solomon's Clinic, and Mr. Chang there, who's ministering there in the Philippines. Let's pray for Bhutan. And why don't we also just pray for the mission trip to Cambodia? There's a Bloom team there right now, and they are having some physical illness issues, and God is moving powerfully. They've had some great testimonies already of God moving through their sharing and praying for the girls in Bloom. So praise God. But let's also pray for God's healing to come upon them, protection for them. And also, if you could pray for the worship team, which will be leaving next Tuesday for about a week. So let's pray together for Cambodia. And also pray for the Philippines and Bhutan, and also pray for the mission teams. Let's pray for the SP Ministries. Let's pray for the intercessory prayer team. Let's pray for Cascade, our inner healing team. Let's pray for the Well, our physical healing team, and the local outreach. Let's just pray for the anointing of God. I was reading Acts just last night, and there are so many healings that come, and people come to know Jesus Christ through these signs and wonders. And let's pray that our church would be a church that operates in this, that God will grant us the grace and the power and the anointing. So let's pray for the Well, and that many testimonies of healing would come from there, and also the other ministries on the list. Let's pray for God's anointing and God's guidance, and let's just lift up the ministries. And please pray for the protection for the leaders, because they will be targeted, you know, by the enemy. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for our summer Bible study that's happening tonight and for the rest of the month of August. Let's pray for just a great time of fellowship and learning and sharing and openness and vulnerability, and that it'll just be really a powerful time, a really beneficial time for our church. So let's pray for the summer Bible study. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for your love, God. Thank you for your grace. And thank you. Thank you, Lord, that when we come before you just as we are, you know, with our brokenness and pain, and then you receive us and you give healing, God, and breakthrough, Lord. Help us to always just come before you honestly. Not with a mask on, God, but Lord, to really surrender ourselves to your love, God. Thank you for your presence here, and I pray that you will bless each and every person here. I bless them with your peace and presence and with your confidence, God, today, with faith, Lord, and help us to bring joy to your heart in some way today. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.